Tonight on TMSPM, Holiday Road.
Nintendo going universal.
Where'd my testicle go?
Jar Jar dead.
Oh, he took it. UK is totes fat.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM edition, brought to you by patreon.com/TMS. I'm Scott. That's Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Welcome to Tumspum.
Tumspum. I don't know. Tumspum. This sounds dirty. I don't like it.
It does.
Tumspum.
It's a web 2.0 thing where they take out all the vowels.
Yep. We haven't done this show for 5 hours, so we're back at it.
I know.
And I can't believe that was 5 hours ago. I have to make an admission, though. I was scurrying around doing about 20 things about 20 minutes ago, completely lost track of time, and totally didn't know it was almost 4:30. So I almost missed the show. Like, I was almost in the car and heading somewhere else for another quick errand before I realized, no, wait, Scott, you have a show in like 10 minutes. What are you doing?
That's funny. So, well, I've been pretty busy too. Watched Half of Arrow last night.
Yeah.
And
some rigorous work you had to get done there with the Arrow. Got it.
Uh-huh. Submitted my licensing report for BMI. Worked on a logo for a company. Changed over another company's documents in their gallery to look a little bit different.
Yeah.
And accomplished one thing on my Heroes of the Storm checklist.
Oh, well, which one?
Not calling it HOTS. That's the one thing I've accomplished on my checklist.
I guess if that's the first one you do, that's okay. I did manage.
I'm still playing tonight after Raid. That's
okay,
the plan.
Good. I managed to squeeze in a couple of Tacitar matches today, and that was nice. So,
nice,
yeah,
good.
I'm playing. If I'm raiding, I'm doing that. There's still some question as whether I'm raiding. boy, did you see the 3 million people left WoW this last 3 months? A million a month? Pretty bad.
I did see that, and I think it's no cause for alarm. I think it's just, come on, these guys are still making money hand over fist, and they're probably people who weren't playing that much anyway.
Well, it's a good question. So they jumped from the 7 million to 10 million, and then now we're back to lower than we were before the jump. It is the single biggest drop they've ever had. Never had this kind of drop in this amount of time. So there's a lot of speculation as to why or what or whatever. They still are at 7.3 million, they're still the clear leader in the MMO market without question. The question is this still happening? Are we going to have another million per month, or are they going to even out? Right. Probably doesn't matter either way, because like you said, they're making money hand over fist. But as the investors, from an investor point of view, that is a lot of lost revenue.
Yeah, that is actually. I mean, that's...
Think about that. 3 million times 30, what is that? 30 times 15 million or 15 bucks. That's how much per month? I can't do the math. It's a lot of freaking money.
But it's like 30%. I mean, if you're going from 10 million down to 7 million, then that's a 30% loss.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a good point.
So I think there's reason to think that all these other games they've been branching out with are in part them going, you know what, we can't be the World of Warcraft company forever. We need to have other streams. And now they have other streams of revenue in very quick fashion compared to most Blizzard developments. I think there is no mistake that that's kind of there to help with that. Not just the transition, because WoW will be here for a very, very long time, and it will be dominant for a very long time. But to be able to diversify in that way so that you're not the company with the MMO whose numbers are constantly going down. You're the company with an MMO that's still the biggest, although its numbers are down, but you have lots of other games and lots of other revenue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So good for them.
By the way, Jeannie is asking if you started the AGR feed, because there's some people in the chat room, audio people, who are saying, I cannot hear it.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say that I didn't do it. And now I'm going to do it. Hold on. Okay. Very shortly now, they will hear my voice via the... there we go. They should hear me now. Well, they'll hear me in a second after the buffer. But yes, fixed. Okay, thank you, Jeannie. I completely forgot.
She's awesome. She takes care of us.
It's kind of damn heaven. All right. Brian, I'm going to play a little bit of something, and you're going to tell me if you know what this is. All right?
Okay, I'm ready.
Check this out right here.
Hit me.
Here you go. It's starting up. Hold on. Give it a second. Okay. All right. It's starting, sort of. Here we go.
Wally World, here we come.
This vacation, it says on the screen.
It sounds like a mashup of 80s movies, Chariots of Fire, and Vacation.
Okay, we got some running. Here we go.
Look who made it.
Hi, Dad.
Morning, Rusty.
All right. So that is, by the way, that's all the Clark Griswold you get in this trailer.
Yeah, it's funny because when they first released that cast photo, you're thinking, all right, it's probably going to be, you know, Clark and his wife and the four of them and their new extended family all going on a vacation. But when you see this this trailer, the Red Band trailer came out today, it's going to be a cameo, which I think is what I'm okay with. I like this this sort of passing of the torch.
Yeah, I think I'm all right with it. I can't tell. It is, so this is a Red Band trailer, right? So it's not it's not for general audiences. I don't know if that indicates this will be like a hard PG-13 or a soft R. I can't tell.
Right. Who knows? But obviously there's some stuff in the...
It's
gross. Really just verbal stuff in the trailer.
Yeah, and like a wiener outline and, you know, like a...
yeah, right. Because there is that.
Thor's hammer. Sorry, I should call it Thor's hammer in this movie. Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell yet. I think it looks fine. Swimming in a sewage pond. It's all very throwback to the original Vacation in my mind, in terms of like gross out jokes and stuff like that.
It is, yeah. I mean, basically, if they took a template, they took it from the first movie.
Yeah.
So what was the actual involvement of National Lampoon with this whole series?
I'm trying to remember, what was their deal?
Because I mean, it was, you know, all at least the first three were all National Lampoon's Vacation, European Vacation, Christmas Vacation. I don't know if it was still titled National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation, was it?
I'm going to guess that National Lampoon was like, what's it? It's like, Adult Swim does stuff now. Like TV shows outside of the cartoon stuff they do on a Cartoon Network, they also publish games now. It's like that kind of thing where they used to be this magazine. They were a big parody magazine. I don't even know if they exist anymore.
Yeah, I don't know either, actually.
But
that's a really good point.
But National Lampoon's involvement, I think, is really just like a such and such brings you. It's a bit like what's the butler?
Jeff Daniels or Jeff? Not Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels. The butler would be great. Jeff Daniels.
Is it going to be Newsroom Jeff Daniels or Dumb and Dumber Jeff Daniels?
Oh, Lee Daniels. That's it.
Yeah, Lee Daniels.
But it's kind of like that. It's like such and such brings you, you know? Like they didn't really do anything other than slap their name on it. Maybe it was their original idea, their story, or they just own the rights. I don't think they have much to do with it. So this one doesn't have their name on anything, the best I can tell.
Right.
In fact, Cartoon Network, they're the ones that, or Comedy Central rather, are the ones that put up the trailer, which is weird. Anyway.
This is kind of funny, by the way. So the Christmas Vacation 2 Cousin Eddie's Island Adventure, that one had National Lampoon's name in the title.
What was
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation 2 Cousin Eddie's Island Adventure.
That's what Christmas Vacation was called, or was that a separate thing?
That was a separate thing. That was the sequel. I want to say we talked about this on Film Sack.
I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, and it's just exile dude, Randy Quaid.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin and Eddie's thing, made for TV, spinoff film. So it was a spinoff film made for TV, and see, directed by Working Place, considered a sequel to Christmas Vacation. It's more of a spinoff because Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo do not appear. It stars Randy Quaid and Miriam Flynn reprising their roles as Cousin Eddie and Catherine, and Dana Barron returning as Audrey Griswold.
The only Audrey to ever appear in two Vacation properties.
But not the Audrey from Christmas Vacation, the Audrey from...
European Vacation,
Vacation,
right.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. I didn't know that
it
existed.
It is really weird, yeah.
Is that considered any good?
I can't imagine. I mean, there's no way it could be good.
There's something else. Hotel Hell Vacation.
Yeah, that's just a short, though. That's like
a little... Oh, it's a short film thing? Okay.
Yeah, 14-minute. I thought... When I first saw that, I thought it was the commercials. Remember there were the commercials... Super Bowl commercials, right, a few years ago.
Yeah, last year.
And that's what I thought those were.
Mm-hmm. I guess not that, though.
No.
Well,
just
anyway.
A little short. Oh, I guess it's a short film for Home Away, which I guess is a company, right? Home Away?
Yeah. That's
so
the thing.
There you go.
All right. Well, good times. I'm looking forward to it.
You know? I am too, actually. I'm looking at the Red Band trailer. It's, you know, it's lowest common denominator kind of jokes and spots, right? Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, they're swimming. Oh, it's sewage they're swimming in.
Oh, he found a syringe and called it a dart and threw it at his brother.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you're right about the kind of level of humor it is, but you have to almost like all this Hangover movies and all this stuff, Bridesmaids.
Right.
They have to look back and honor the original Vacation as one of the granddaddies of gross out movies, right?
Right.
So I think this is just a throwback to what it already was. You know.
And the probably the best line in the trailer is the kid saying, "I don't even remember the original Vacation," because he's talking about like this vacation that he went on as a kid was his original vacation.
I'm gonna
and
find
the kid
it.
Says, "I don't even remember the original Vacation." He says, "Don't worry, this vacation will stand alone."
Yeah. Let me find that one. Let me see.
This will be completely different. I've never even heard of the original Vacation.
Doesn't matter. The new Vacation will stand on its own. Okay?
nice breaking the fourth wall there.
A
little bit, a little nod to the fans.
I also like this son. Listen to him.
This family's in a rut. We gotta shake things up.
We're driving to Wally World.
What? This is some bullshit right here.
I like that kid. Anyway, look forward to it. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
We're all in. We're all in.
Bring it on.
Bring it on, everybody.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the evening news brought to you by...
This week on Tell It Anyway, three stories from three reasonably kind people about that time that they were jerks. Take a peek into the mirror universe where Jenny is a cat kicker, her sister Kate pulls a Carrie prank in math class, and our very own Tom Merritt shatters his nice guy image. All that and more on TellItAnyway.com.
Did you see that tweet she put up with that picture of Tom from like early college?
Nope, because Twitter's been closed since this morning.
Oh, good for you.
I never opened it back up. I
just didn't think about it. Well, you're beating me then. I actually spent more time than I planned on in there today. But Tom looks like he's about 15. It's great. It's a fantastic photo.
Really? Oh, I'm going to have to look for that now.
Yeah, got to find it now. Nintendo is bringing their brand of whatever to Universal theme parks. You can go to a Universal theme park sometime soon, and they're going to have like Mario rides and Donkey Kong things and Pokemon things. Don't know what yet. It's all in the planning stages, but you'd have to imagine you'll sit in a Mario Kart-like cart at some point and race around some sort of track. Who knows?
Have you ever been down to Universal Studios Islands of Adventure?
No. I've been to Universal Studios, the California one, and the last one I went was so long ago, I think the biggest attraction was like the Jaws shark that tried to bite the thing you were riding in.
Oh, so 1983 was
pretty,
the last
pretty
time.
Pretty much, yeah. It was the 80s for sure. I don't remember when, high school maybe.
So Islands of Adventure down in Florida is broken up into zones. And one zone is your Dr. Seuss zone. It's like Disneyland with all your different lands. Dr. Seuss land and comic strip land. And then there Marvel has a section there. Who knows how long they're going to keep that since it's a Disney property.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park and the newest one, I think it was the Simpsons one they added. Oh, I guess they also have the Harry Potter thing from a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they're going to add this as a new land there, right? Like a little Nintendo land.
It's a great name for it.
It would be perfect,
yeah,
right?
You have a name for that. Yep. You have a little Zelda, Legend of Zelda park type thing with a castle. You could have Metroid roller coaster thing with caves and stuff.
Little Kid Icarus climbing structure.
Yeah, dude. That's great. You start thinking of all their dumb games and like, how would they make it work? Like Ice Climbers. Hey, an Ice Climbers exhibit. What the hell would you do there? I think it's cool. I've argued for years that Nintendo should do more in the way of this sort of thing, because they've got the characters and the sort of love for their characters that would work. I mean, you could see a big bobbly-headed Mario walking around the park getting pitchers.
Makes perfect sense. Oh, totally. To me. Yeah. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It fits perfectly. It's probably the best video game property you could translate to a theme park.
Yeah.
I agree. Sorry, China and your knockoff World of Warcraft park, but yeah. I think Nintendo does what what knockoff World of Warcraft don't.
Yeah, that's probably true. For all we know, China's got so many crazy things, they probably have a Nintendo park and we just don't know about it.
Right.
Some ripoff. In other more hitting news, hard hitting news, all the men listening, you want to take this carefully. Sit down if you want, because it's going to be rough. Off-duty cop bit man's testicle during a fight outside a bar.
Yikes. Ooh. Well, at least he was off duty, though.
Yeah. A Maryland. I think Maryland as a name doesn't fit this article because it sounds so chipper, but someone's testicle is off. A Maryland police officer has been suspended after being accused of biting another man's testicle during a fight outside a bar while he was off duty on Cinco de Mayo. Nothing good ever happens on that day.
Right. And anyone who thinks that, you know, Maryland is all quaint and pretty right now just hasn't been there in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Just mentioned Baltimore. And you're screwed. The Baltimore Sun. I feel like it's funny, like the crime problem in Baltimore and the police problem and the corruption and all the whatever the issues are. I feel like they've all been, you know, prophesied by shows like Life on the Streets and The Wire. I mean, they're all set in that place. Mm-hmm. So like some of the most widely regarded procedurals and cop dramas have been set in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, the cop situation there was not bad until all these TV shows started making it bad out there.
Well, my point is, did Richard Belzer and his fine portrayal, did he help bring light to it? In other words, did everyone just think it was nothing going on, but really the reason they based it on those places because it is bad?
I think so. Yeah, I think that is the case. It just opened our eyes to it. We're so focused on, all right, well, New York crime and police it's got to be bad. LA has got to be bad. Yeah.
Vegas
Chicago.
Is always bad. Freaking Vegas, dirty Vegas.
Freaking Vegas.
Baltimore Sun reports 31-year-old Anne Andrell County Police Officer Michael Flaig? F-L-A-I-G.
Flaig is what I would say, and Anne Arundel.
All right. Oops. Yeah, I got that wrong. Was charged Tuesday after Baltimore police said the victim accused Flaig, who was off duty, of groping his female roommate.
That's what Dave Thomas tells him to raise every day in the front of Wendy's, right?
Yep. Raise Flaig every day. What he says. Yeah, raise the flag for our juicy hamburgers.
All American. Old-fashioned hamburgers.
Did you put up the flag? We can't open till the flag's flying. And Arundel, County Police Spokesman T.J. Smith, says Flaig will be suspended and placed on administrative duties where he will not have access to exposed testicles to bite off.
Yeah, how... there is really a lot missing from the story, right? The victim straddled Flaig to keep him from getting away, and Flaig bit his testicles.
Right, straddled his face, like got squatted down on his face. Is that what happened?
I guess so. Right,
teabagged him. As the kids say,
I don't know. That might be grounds.
Yeah.
If you get if somebody squats down on your face to keep you from getting away,
yeah, you all bets are off.
All bets are off. I think
all testicles are off.
I'll let that one slide. Yeah. That's sustained. I'll accept it. I'll allow it.
You'll allow that? Okay. In the courtroom of TMS PM, we'll allow that. Also, this is cool. Star Wars is J.J. Abrams's teases a demise of Jar Jar Binks. Ooh, finally, some closure. You can accuse J.J. Abrams of not giving fans what they want, at least not in this case. As he continues to put together the final cut of his December Star Wars Force Awakens, more of his chat with Vanity Fair magazine has been published, where he teases the demise of Gungan of Doom, the notorious Jar Jar Binks. Misa ruined your movie from episode 1. Working in the edit suite, Abrams said, "I have thought about putting Jar Jar Binks' bones in the desert there." While pointing out a frame of his new film. "I'm serious. Only three people will notice, and they will love it. We'd wager cash that if he did that, far more than three people would notice, and it would go crazy, and it might get back to him because George would get pissed. But whatever."
Right. Listen, JJ, I heard a rumor that...
It seems so unnecessary. I mean, you know, he wasn't in any of the original trilogy, so timeline-wise... the end of Jar Jar is the end of episode 3. Nothing 4, 5, and 6. So let him just go.
Yeah, he didn't live that long. And we're not going to look at a desert and go, oh, somehow he ended up here where they're having this other movie. Yeah, don't do that.
Exactly.
I understand the desire, though, right?
Because
you want to just stick it to him. But at the very least, here's what I think. I don't think they're doing it because if he had done it, he wouldn't be saying it.
Right.
I don't think he'd leak that at all.
No, he's just joking about it, obviously.
Because it makes it worse to talk about it, in my opinion.
Here's what I'm going to put money on. I will put money right now down and guarantee.
Okay.
That somewhere.
Cajun guy from the 80s that used to be on TV all the time. All right.
Chef, what was that guy's name? What? He's like, it was the Kentucky, what was that show? Oh my God.
The Cajun.
It was the Kentucky chef, Kentucky cooking. And he would start off with a perfectly clean shirt. And by the end of the show, he had pitted out that shirt. It completely soaked the armpits.
Oh, Justin Wilson was his name.
That's it. Yes, Justin Wilson.
Southern American chef and humorist known for his Cajun cuisine-inspired cooking and humor storytelling. He died September 5th, 2011, or 2001. He barely missed the 9/11 by like just a few days.
Oh, wow.
He was how old? Doesn't say. I guarantee. Goddamn fish.
I imagine if you do a Google image search for Justin Wilson armpits, then you get
something.
Really foul stuff.
Well, here he is.
You know how come the chicken crossed the road, huh? Ready to run away from them Cajuns. I'll tell you right now, because Cajuns will eat most anything and they love.
You know what's weird is my wife grew up in Cajun country, and this is how they sound. This isn't faking it. He was not doing a character. Like, this is not the Paul Hogan of the South. This is, like, literally what they sound like down there. Kim has relatives who sound like this guy. Anyway.
If they have full episodes of that thing on Hulu or whatever, you got to watch it and just start off with the first few minutes and then fast forward to the end and look how soaked his shirt is.
I'm going to skip ahead in this. Let's see if we can see it. Okay. All right. So he's...
what I got you in this pot is what I'm going to...
All right. Now, I'm going to skip ahead. Let's get way to the end. All right. This might be a case of very well
air-conditioned studio.
Yeah. We're going to have to find a better example. All right, somebody we'll find out a better there, example. Somebody anyway. Chat room, find a pitted out Justin Wilson, please.
There you go. And so back to my guarantee, because I know we don't want to freak out the guy who's on the highway who wants to, every time we go on off a tangent, he wants to stop his car and jump off the nearest bridge. So here's my guarantee is that somewhere in The Force Awakens, J.J. Abrams will hide a Starship Enterprise.
Oh, interesting. Did he do that in...
He did that in Star Trek. He hid an R2-D2.
That's right. Flying through the air after Thor's ship got blown up.
It was like debris.
Uh-huh. Yeah, George Kirk died.
That's right.
Okay. Yep, you're right. He's totally going to do that. Of course he is.
Yeah.
Let me think of one other thing he could sneak in there.
A little Jennifer Garner, Sidney Bristow floating around.
Yeah, he'll have Tom Cruise floating in space with a tiny little pill in his brain that's going to explode if they don't hurry up and kill it or something. Right. No, I love the idea of having, or there'll be a little kid with a Super 8 camera filming the ship as it flies away.
A little Super 8 camera flying through space.
Yeah,
that's what's
I like
be.
It. And then it'll all start from the viewpoint of Jack's eyeball as he's laying in the dirt after the plane crash. finally, oh, look at this. Crazy cast information about, this is insane. Captain America Civil War, or as I like to call it, the actual Avengers movie, because it looks like there are more Avengers in this than the Avengers movies.
Well, there will be. Yeah, there will be more. Because we it's not a spoiler to say that we didn't see Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, we saw stuff. We saw, who was in that? Black Widow and
I'm sorry. We didn't see Sebastian Stan Winter Soldier in Avengers 2. It's not a spoiler for us to say that.
Right, I think that's fair. But in Captain America Civil War, here is who you can expect. Here is the cast list so far that we have. Chris Evans as Steve Rogers, aka Captain America. Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark / Iron Man. Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes / Winter Soldier. Anthony Mackie as Sam Wilson / Falcon. Paul Bettany as The Vision. That's great. Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye. Don Cheeto as War Machine. Or Jim Rhodes. Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch. Paul Rudd as Ant-Man. Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther, which is the same guy who will be in Black Panther. Emily Van Camp, Agent 13. Also sounds like a food item. I got Van Camp's chicken sticks, or whoever's interested.
Fish sticks are perfect for Emily Van Camp.
Fish sticks, dude. Gross. So there's Agent 13. Get Frank Grillo as Crossbones and William Hurt as General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross from the freaking Hulk movies.
Right. Probably won't be Red Hulk in that.
No. Right. Yeah, I agree. You still have confirmed castmate, but no one knows what the role is. Martin Freeman, as well as Daniel Brühl as Baron Helmut Zemo. There's no word yet on whether Spider-Man will be a part of the film. Although that, I thought there was word that he would be. That was part of their deal. That he
they did confirm that Spider-Man is going to be able to appear in Captain America. That's a Civil War.
But look at that. That's like Avengers 3 in terms of cast.
Right.
You have right. It's so, a new team. But
no wonder they have to split Infinity War into two movies, because
you just about have to do it here, you know?
That's
but
right.
It kind of makes sense, because you know what? I can sense what they're doing here. These names, these are all filling out roles from the Civil War series that you can't put in here. Like you may not get your Wolverine, but you're going to get Black Panther or whoever else.
You're not going to get the Fantastic Four. You know, Reed Richards was on the side of Tony Stark, if I remember correctly, and it was a big rift between him and Sue Richards because she was more on the Captain America side.
Yeah, it's a great series. If you've never read that, folks, go get Marvel Unlimited, and watch the whole damn thing, or read the whole thing. It's really, really good. And I loved all the offshoot stuff. Like, that was just one of Marvel's best event series they've ever done. Period. Well, they're making a movie about it. Of course it was good.
They are. Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to take a break. Good. Yeah, so good. This is so good. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's app time. We're going to review a couple of apps, and we're going to take your Twitter questions. Ask TMS on Twitter is the hashtag, and we've already got a bunch lined up, so we'll be reading those. Brian brought some music to give us a little break. What do you got?
I did. So this first one goes out to Jared Azevedo. Says, hey there, Bite and Stack. May 7th is my birthday, and love to hear Professor Shy Guy's cover of El Scorcho by Weezer in celebration of my 32nd trip around the sun. Yeah, that's Professor Shy Guy featuring I Fight Dragons covering Weezer, a few of my favorite things all balled up into one. If you can't play that, the Darius Rucker Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch Sandwich song would be great. Thanks for all the laughs and for filling my daily quota of hearing the word penis, which I just contributed to if you're reading this out loud. Go stream a go-go, Jared, a.k.a. Jazz Tech, on the rare occasion I make it into the tadpole.
All right.
You can download this album, by the way. It's part of his album History 1-1 from professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. He's got an album there that's got a bunch of covers, including a cover of They Might Be Giants' Anna Ang with the double clicks, a cover of Bjork's Army of Me. It's really good, really good album. I bought the whole damn thing, and I don't regret it one bit. All right, here it is. Professor Shy Guy from his album History 1-1 from last year, covering Weezer and El Scorcho.
Japanese girls do it to me every time. Oh, the redhead said you shred the cello, and I'm jello, baby. But you won't talk, won't look, won't think of me. I'm the epitome of public enemy. Why you wanna go and do me like that? Come down on the street and dance with me. I'm a lot like you, so please, hello. You said you never heard of them. How cool is that? So I went to your room and read your diary. Watching Grunge Leg drop New Jack through a press table. And then my heart stopped listening to Cho-Cho Sin. I fall in love all over again. I'm a lot like you, so please, hello. I think I'd be good for you.
sing about it or make a record of how stupid it is. What you give me, just come up to me and say hello. Cause I think we'd make a good team. And you could keep my fingernails clean. But that's just a stupid dream. And I won't realize, cause I can't even look in your eyes without shaking. And I ain't faking. I'll bring home the turkey if you bring home the bacon.
I will not like you. So please, hello.
I always get the El Scorcho at Taco Bell.
It's my favorite thing. Comes in a little sauce pack. It's great.
Mm, El Scorcho. All right. Mm. Well, there you go. That was enjoyable. Brian, I have before me a plan, and that plan includes for you and I to review apps that we like right now.
That's a great plan. I like your plan.
I kind of agree. I'm going to start with one that I picked up based on a recommendation of somebody on Twitter probably 3 or 4 days ago called Does Not Commute.
Like, guy on Twitter lied.
Oh, yeah. Let's find out if I got to have that handy. If that guy.
That guy on Twitter lied.
Let's see if that guy on Twitter lied or not. Does Not Commute, it's called. You can. There's something that says I can get a premium version, which I don't understand. I guess. Oh, you can do checkpoints. Maybe I'll do that. Well, anyway, this game is really, really cool. I don't know if the chat room can see this, but it starts out with this really cool kind of retro looking, like a dashboard on an old car, from like the 50s or something, and you jump into. I'll say not now. You jump into a level, and it tells you roughly that dentist Charles Schneider leaves his house and heads to his car on Glower Boulevard. Now, it's just this silly little story. It doesn't really mean anything. But then when you hit to go, you're now racing your car using these two turn buttons. You have gas automatically, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just move forward, and your goal is to get to that goal successfully without crashing, or without having another car hit you or getting stuck in traffic or whatever. And there's little coins you can pick up on the way. It's very simple, has some neat little physics, beautiful graphics, all that stuff. But there's something.
These graphics are gorgeous.
It's incredibly addictive. That's the thing about it, is like you just want to do the next one, the next one, the next one. And it kind of just tweaks a certain kind of gameplay I like a lot.
Right.
This next one is Postwoman Betty is very efficient. So she has, she always has the time to stop and see Mr. Beck. So you got to get her to Mr. Beck's. So she's going to drive through this roundabout in her dumb-looking van. Ooh, there's a car. Got to watch out. I got some money on the ground, and now I'm to the destination. So the first levels are really easy.
Right.
But as you go, they get more difficult, and they get more into the city. Right now we're in the suburbs. Eventually it's in the city. There are cops everywhere. Like, you're going to crash 1,000 times. And if you die, it immediately resets you. Try again. Like, it's got that kind of Meat Boy kind of, let me go back and start again, start again, start again, until I get it perfectly. Try to beat your old times. It's freaking rad. Here's some sound.
That looks really cool.
See, it has this kind of like Pleasantville kind of vibe. And let's
drive Mad Men. I feel like I'm driving in Mad Men.
Okay, we're driving our car. Okay. Oh, I made it. Nobody ran into me. Oh, thank you very much. Now Mrs. Beck is on her way back home. So anyway, you just have this really fun, stupid time waster. It's just great. Perfect for mobile. Wow. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Brian, that's mine. What do you got for me?
Very cool. All right, so I'm gonna do a couple only because this first one's gonna be really short. But basically, I've been obviously looking for things that I can do not just on my phone and my iPad, but also on my watch. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard, Scott, but I got an Apple Watch.
I did hear about that. Yeah. And Justin's not upset about not getting his at all. He's fine.
He's not upset about getting... Oh, has he... He hasn't received
his
yet, has he?
He's still waiting. So he's constantly telling everyone that I'm not upset. Not at all.
Aww.
He's lying. He's totally upset.
He's totally upset. Yeah. Well, that's why I haven't been able to send him any, you know, what pics. Little drawings. So, the first one's really, really quick. It's a an app called Spy Phone. It's a game. And it is, it's like a little send your dudes out on a mission thing and check back with them in a few hours, but it's all done with this kind of James Bond spy, you know, you're the head of, Spy Watch is what it's called. Mm. And you're like this head of this agency and you're sending these guys out. There's a little bit of janky, dialogue at the beginning that you kind of just read and get through. But then it turns into this thing that is the thing you've always dreamed of when you're at the airport or when you're hanging out and you want to look cool. Have all these like rotating radar devices and little maps that go, you know, wouldn't show you where.
That sounds where all right. Going. That sounds like a thing I'd want when I was a kid, for sure.
Totally. And so they have that and you install it on your phone and you've got the game on your phone. But as you send people out, your watch will like tell you, hey, it's time to go pick up so-and-so. Now you can get this without having a watch and it plays just fine. The watch just gives you that extra level of being able to say, great, go out on another mission. Woohoo! Etc.
That sounds all right.
It's all right. Yeah. Now, the thing that's really got me hooked and I'm loving this, and it's funny because in this case, yeah, there's a watch component as well to it, but the watch game I don't find nearly as entertaining as the iPhone game, and it's called Rules. With an exclamation point.
Okay.
And you are basically given a grid of pictures, little cards. And on each card, there's a picture of a creature or a robot or a demon, and then a number next to it. And then you're given a rule. And it says, all right, tap all of them in descending order. Well, piece of cake. You go 10, 9. Oh, there's another 9 over here. An 8, 7. Ooh, there's 3 sixes, 666, 5, 4. No threes, but a couple twos and then a one. Great. All right. Next rule is tap the odd-numbered creatures first.
Okay.
So it goes to the next screen. It shows you a new array of cards. And this time, first you go through and hit all the odd-numbered ones, get those cards out of the way, and then you follow rule number one, which is to hit all of the other ones in descending order.
Okay.
But you have to remember what that last rule was, each of the other rules.
Okay.
Then you go to the third one, and it's hit all of the robots. And so first you do all the robots, then you get all the odd numbers, and then you tap the remaining ones in descending order. And it just goes and goes and goes, and it adds on a rule each time that you have to follow first. That rule supersedes all other rules. Once you do that one, then you do the next rule. And it's a memory game where you've got to remember all the different rules in order that you're having to follow.
That sounds like such an IBIT thing you'd excel at.
I totally love it.
Yeah, it seems like a thing you'd be good at, though. Like,
You'd think, but I'm really bad at it.
It's really?
Like, oh, shoot. Is it hit all the nines or is it get rid of all the animals first? Dang it, I can't remember. So, but it is a blast. It's free and it is... It is so much fun. I think it's on iOS and Android as well.
Oh, good.
But on the watch, it's instead of this grid of like 16 cards, you get 4 cards on your little watch display, which makes it a little bit easier to be able to say, okay, yeah, I think it's get rid of all the nines. Well, getting rid of all the nines got rid of all my odd numbers and all my animals. So now I just have to tap the 2 remaining cards in descending order.
Have you found anything on the watch so far that you've been like, wow, this is way more compelling than I expect it to be kind of thing?
Not yet. Not on its own. But I haven't used the mapping. Here's one thing I do really like is the remote. So it's hooked into my iTunes on my desktop and I'm listening to music constantly. And if I'm working in... You know, I've got Photoshop open or I've got, you know, Dreamweaver or something like that. And a song comes on, like, oh, yeah, what is this? I can actually go to my watch, you know, hit the up button or hit the like scroll up and then see what it is. Hit the pause button, fast forward, blah, blah, blah. I really like that extra level of control. And I was using this actually when I was on the treadmill because it'll also work with your phone.
That's cool.
In a separate screen. So, you know, I'm jogging along. It's like, oh yeah, I like this song. Let's start it over from the beginning, or let's skip this one. And I can do that without having to reach over, grab my phone, hit the circle button, and maybe navigate to the phone or the music app, or just do it from the main screen or whatever. So
that's cool.
There's a few things like that that I really like.
But, well, I was very curious because I knew early on there'd be a couple of things. Most would be crap, but you figure something's going to shine, you know?
Something's going to shine. I haven't found it quite yet, but
are there any Tamagotchi type apps yet? Like little,
oh God, I'm sure.
Take care of your little animal things. Got to be by now, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Probably.
I mean, that kind of is what the spy thing is, right? Where it's basically, you know, all right, send this guy on another mission. Hey, he brought back $1,000. Great. We can train him to level 3 of stealth now. I'm sure there's a Tamagotchi thing.
That's cool. Well, yeah. There you go. Watches. Still a threat.
Not a huge threat, but
one nonetheless. Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, there's your apps. Hope you guys enjoy them. I think this one I talked about is also on Android, I believe. So check that out. Your Ask TMS questions are rolling in. We got a few of these. And let me start with this one. Felicia H. wrote in. Says, okay. You have already covered this and I forgot. Or you may have already covered this and I forgot. But what happened to the foodie segment? We have addressed it before. That came down to Sarah had to take a job that meant she couldn't be here anymore in the mornings. And so that was one of the reasons. The other reason is... Yeah, the geek food thing. The other reason is Kim is running around with kids in the morning now also because we have a different thing where she's driving a lot of it. Mm-hmm. It used to be that they'd get picked up by other people who did the carpool, but now she's one of the drivers. That's second reason. Third reason, they're looking to relaunch Geek Food as a video thing with Carter producing it. So they're focusing on that. So I will let you guys know when that happens. But they want to do a cooking show on YouTube together with Carter. Hey, Carter, how's a cooking show coming? With Mom. Has it stalled? Is it because they're lame or you're lame? All right, they're lame, she says. Scariest.
And if she's asking about the foodie segment that we do in the mornings, it's just we haven't had any food sent to us in a while. So
maybe that's what she means. Good point.
The short hiatus. Well, who knows? I imagine she means the geek food segment because.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Unless she hasn't heard today's show because we did have food today. In fact, you want to know how many Oreos are gone? Let's see.
How many?
Carter's had a couple, so this isn't all me.
All right.
One of the sleeves. One of the sleeves is down to one left. So there's 7 per sleeve. So we've had 6. I had 3 of those. She had 3 of those, right?
Very good.
2. She had 2. I had 3. There's 1 left. Robert O'Neill McMahon. McMahon wrote in. He says
used up all of his Twitter characters on his name.
I like it.
Said hi.
Scariest. Yes, hi. It's all I can fit. Scariest natural disaster and why? You go first. What do you think? What do you think is the scariest thing?
You know, I would say tsunamis or the huge tidal waves like there was in Thailand and Japan a few years ago, right?
Indonesia and all that.
Indonesia, right? Because not only do you get this earthquake style destruction with the wave hitting all the buildings, then you've got drownings and flooding and all this other stuff. It seems like it's a lot of different disasters all rolled into one.
Right. Right, right, right.
You think that's what he's looking for? Or is he looking for something like Sharknado?
Well, you're not wrong. I think that's my most scary one, is the same idea. A wall of water and not being able to escape at all. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Also pretty scary are giant tornadoes coming at you. Mm-hmm. I mean, none of these are good. Hurricanes are pretty bad. Fires are bad.
Meteors are pretty bad.
Meteors are real bad. The ones that don't scare me are the sudden ones that you can't see coming.
Yeah.
Whatever those may be. Earthquakes are pretty bad, but I don't know. I feel like even if a big one happens, there's ways to get the hell out of there. But yeah, when it's one that just like a nuke, if it hit and just vaporized us, and we didn't know it was coming, that's an okay way to go.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that would
wipe
suck
us out, but we wouldn't have all this anticipation of watching this thing and suffering.
Yeah, it would just happen.
unless and we're no, and further those, away from it.
And but. Those be really, yeah, exactly. Then it's years of suffering. But assuming it hits and takes everybody out, well, in a way, that's preferable on an individual level. It's not great for a human race kind of thing. But, yeah. You know, if I want to go, that's the way I want to go. No burning, no drowning, please. Neither of those.
Right. Oh, God. Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, my
Thanks poor, for your uplifting question, man, with many names.
My poor sister-in-law, I could tell you this story real quick. So she's in town for a week. She's here from California, just here for a week. Uh-huh. They're riding around in an Isuzu truck, which my other sister-in-law has. And a complete fluke. She's not even here 24 hours. She's in the car. It's a nice day out. She's wearing flip-flops. They hear this in the car. They hear like that. They're okay. Like, what the heck is that? Not a second later. Oh, they hear that sound while they're in the in and out drive-through. Okay, getting food for the kids. They hear that sound. Not even a second after the sound, the radiator pipe that pipes the coolant throughout the car.
Yeah,
which is hot, hot, hot liquid.
Oh God!
Breaks right underneath the dash on the passenger side and just showers her feet with
oh my God
scalding chemical water. And gave her second-degree burns that turned into giant bulbous
blisters.
And when I mean giant, I mean like imagine your whole foot with like a big crown of a blister on it.
Wow.
She had to go into the burn unit at the University of Utah, and they had to lance these things. And like it was awful. It was really bad. Oh, did I get something today? What did I get? Oh, new headphones. Yeah, yeah, I got them on sale. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Turned out it was just a wire, though. Yeah. Send it back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this is great. Thank you. You're the mom and the bomb. You're the mom bomb.
Mom bomb.
Mom bomb. All right. How about this one? Aaron Wilson asks, very Coverville-related question. Will Coverville Records content show up on a streaming service, Spotify in particular?
Probably not right away. I know there's been some, there was some extra package we could pay to make that happen. Eventually, maybe when we get like five or six records under our belt, we consider it. Right now, there's nothing on streaming, I believe. Thinking there might have been some tie-in with Smooth Federation with CD Baby, where it was offered as a streaming thing for a while. But
right,
yeah,
That'd be really cool if it did.
It would, yeah, and especially if there's a way that you can say, and I got to find out, you know, how many. You know, on average, what do those streaming services turn into for sales to make sure it's going to be worth it to pay the extra to get it onto a streaming service, right?
Yeah, that's like, the trick. That's why you don't see a lot of indie artists on there unless they're signed with some label.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
There's real, I don't know, the streaming stuff, as much as I like it, there's some real business questions going on right now that the artists are getting a little bit screwed on, but we'll see. That'd be cool, though, to have it on there. All right, how about this one?
Yeah.
Hey, Scat, Jazz, and Bebop. Who's Bebop?
Well, you and I would be Scat and Bebop. Oh, Scat Jazz.
And Scat Bebop. Jazz and Bebop. Yeah, it's weird.
Yep.
Will Usherwood says, sadly, no question. Just thanks for many years of entertainment and laughs from you and the Frog Pants family. Oh, thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, Will Usherwood.
Glad we could be there for you.
You sound like an ancillary Harry Potter character. I like that name.
Will Usherwood.
Andrew Campbell. There's no candle.
You know Tate Campbell.
You know Tate Campbell. Says this, favorite Heroes of the Storm characters and why? Mine are Nova and Arthas. Mine are my brain just went dead. Freaking Thrall. Jeez, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Thrall is amazing. I love Thrall. I love him. I like Mardin. I really like Tassadar, although I just sort of started playing him. And I like Jaina Proudmoore a lot. Those are my favorites. Brian hasn't played yet, so he doesn't know.
Well, I've played a little bit.
Well, who'd you like?
I like the guy that you go through the tutorial with.
Uther. You like Uther. Oh, no. You mean Raynor.
Raynor. Yes. I'm sorry. Raynor. I do like Raynor. And I played around with, who else did it give me that I could kind of play around with as a free one? I think I did get Arthas.
To play around with Arthas? Arthas is good. He's a good tank.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm not good with those warrior guys, but. Maybe I need to be because what I really want to do is be really proficient with each kind of character, with each, you know, assassin support and a tanky warrior guy. But right now I'm all about assassin and support.
Yeah, I do like the move that Raynor has that does the death from above from the ship and just, you know, you basically mark a path and it just goes.
It's really
right across
good.
That path.
It's really good. Yeah. Tears people up. I don't know. There's so many other characters I also like. Oh my gosh, I could just keep going. I love that game. I love it. here's one from Patrick Schmaltz, who says, when you guys were kids, who did you play pretend to be? Superheroes or fantasy or whatever. What was our favorite thing to pretend to be? For me, it was the Flash from DC Comics. I would do that all the time. I had a friend who was really strong, and I was really fast at the time. At the time is an important note.
not so much anymore.
Not so much anymore. But he played Superman, and I would play the Flash, and we would work together as a superhero team. So that was that, and that was all like elementary time. And then a lot of Star Wars. I was basically wanted to be Han Solo, and I wanted to, and Luke Skywalker too. I kind of had a thing for him for a while.
So. I had was probably pretending to be Han Solo a lot and Wolverine.
Oh, very nice, Wolverine. That's cool.
Wolverine, yeah.
Being kids is great because you can just pretend, and who cares? Let's see. Another Jay Martin says, it seems like Scott watches a lot of TV and movies. I would say Brian, that's true of Brian as well.
Yeah.
How do you do that with everything else you do? Lots of multitasking, I would say, yeah, a bit of that, but also it's like knowing when you can or knowing the best times. Treadmill, great time for me to watch stuff. In bed, an hour before I want to go to sleep, great time to catch something on the iPad or watch with Kim or whatever. Yeah. There's another hour right there. Trying to do 2-a-days on the treadmill means I get 2 half-hour somethings in per day.
Oh, wow.
And then on the weekends, you take time with the kids. But I don't think it's that hard. I mean, I'm behind on tons of stuff. Like, you see more than I do. I haven't seen a single Flash. I haven't seen a single Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I haven't seen a single Gotham episode. Like, all my nerd shows, I'm so far behind on. So I don't think I'm actually all that. I just talk about it a lot. I don't think I'm actually that good at getting a ton in.
Yeah, Flash, Arrow, and Gotham are my watch on the iPad after Tina goes to sleep kind of thing. Those are the things I catch up on during the week. She and I like to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. together and Survivor and Hell's Kitchen and the Sunday night stuff, Game of Thrones, Mad Men.
Got to make time, Blacklist. Man. Got to make time. That's how it works.
You do. You basically do. And we just are really good about saying, all right, from 7 to 10, we're going to have time just us, either watch TV, watch a movie, hang out. But that's our time that we pretty much have set aside for stuff like that.
Yeah, it's good to do. Plus, when your kids are older, it's easier because
they require less attention.
Yeah. And they're either with you sometimes, like they're part of it. Like we're all watching, Daredevil together, but that's another funny thing. We've had such a hard time coordinating all four of us in the same place that we're still 2 episodes away from the end of that show because we just want to see it together. So you just work it out. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about where we're at as well.
Let's see. We got time for one more.
Okay.
Actually, we'll do two more. This seems like an easy one. Andrew Lyons wrote in. He's using an avatar I drew, which is always nice to see. He says this. How many cover requests does Brian get per week?
Oh, wow. That's a good question.
We know how many
more
you play,
than I can get on the show. I'll say that.
Because we know you play at least, let's see, what is it, 8, 9, 10. You play 10 a week, right?
Yeah.
2 per day.
Right,
so
exactly.
What does that
My
end
spy,
up being?
By the way, just came back in. I just collected some cash. He just finished a mission. I get probably about 15 to 20 requests per week. Mm-hmm. Just ones that actually have specific dates attached to them. And then there are other ones that don't have dates attached to them that I use to kind of fill in when we don't have something. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's there's a lot. There's a lot that come in every week. So if you don't get a request played, that's probably why it is. And it's not, it's not like I pick ones that are from certain people. I tend to pick ones that have a song that I think is going to fit well with the show. So if you're requesting a cover of some really obscure new country song, it's probably not going to happen. But if you're saying, hey, how about a cover of, let me scrolling through here. But, if there's anything, a cover of Foo Fighters, love to hear a Foo Fighters cover or Offspring or Pink Floyd, then it's probably going to be a lot more likely that you're going to hear what you want to hear.
Look at this. We're seeing how the sausage is made, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Little secret.
Have you ever seen Brian's sausage? Keith.
Great. Now, yet another restraining order.
There you go. Keith wrote in, final thing, says this. The West Wing is still some of the best TV ever created. I agree with you, Keith. I freaking love it. You know that already. But then he says, it has the worst closing music ever created for primetime television. So we're going to do a quick comparison and see if he's right. I actually agree with him, but for those who don't know how it goes, here's the opening music, which is great. So here's that. All right, very epic, very sweeping. There's Rob Lowe. Looking good, Rob. There's Stalker Channing. It's a later season. There's Dual Hill.
Dule
Hill. There, I always said Dual, really?
Dule, there goes yes, Dule.
Alice and Janney. Anyway, good music, right? Lovely music.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Now, let us partake in some closing music.
All right.
Hold on. Where is it? Oh, don't tell me that nobody has the outro music. There has to be. West Wing. Oh.
I'm expecting something like.
It's not far from. That's the problem. It's not far from that. West Wing outro music. Let's try that. Oh, you got to have it.
Yeah, I would think.
Closing credits. Closing music. Oh, really? That's amazing to me that it's not in here. Hmm. Is it the West Wing
it's
chorus?
It's that hated.
We'll see if West Wing chorus is it. No.
Probably not.
That's not it. That was a really intense scene. Okay, hold on. Let's see. West Wing. Oh, I can't believe they don't have this anywhere. It must be so bad even YouTube doesn't have it.
You could jump into Netflix and just fast forward to the end of a...
That's not it. Sorry.
End of an episode.
Yeah, you could do that. That's kind of a pain, but I'm going to do it. We're doing it.
Okay. All right. We got time.
We're doing it. It's okay. Netflix, watch this. This is how fast we're going to be.
All right. Okay. I'm timing you with my watch.
By the way, what's the band Biff Naked? You heard of them?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They do a song, Moment of Weakness. Lead singer, can't remember her name, but she had breast cancer, I want to say. Oh, or no, it was something else. It was another form of cancer, leukemia or...
That's all bad.
Yeah, it's all bad.
None. Okay, so here's the beginning. Previously on the West Wing. Okay, now we're going to skip ahead. Oh, wait.
Oh, I think we're through here.
Okay, skipping ahead again. All right, we're getting to the end. We're going to play the... Okay, here it goes. There's Richard Schiff sitting in his office thinking high thoughts about the country and its future. Okay, here we go. It's going to be a little quiet because Netflix is always quiet. Okay. Oh, yeah. It is bad. Listen. It's like a little...
You know what it is? It's a Nintendo DS Ace Wright attorney. Or
yes!
Ace attorney.
Yes. It's too jaunty. He's right. Yeah. It's too jaunty. Oh, my gosh. He's totally right. All right. One of the best things we've ever gotten on the show. Thank you very much for that. And if you guys want to have your questions on Ask TMS next week... It's #, or # AskTMS. #. I got to stop saying that.
No kidding.
Big thanks. We never thank him enough. I want to say quick thanks to Scott Fletcher for being the voice of so much of what we do. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. He always does our little intros and stuff. If you guys don't know, you should. He's the man. Meet him at Nerdtacular. Shake his hand. Hug him. Squeeze a toot from him if you can.
Squeeze him so hard he poops his pants.
Yes, that's what we're looking for. AlphaGeekRadio.com is also Shoutcast streaming the show. Big thanks to them. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us, help us grow, help us do even newer, cooler things, including this fifth episode a week, which is why you get it. Thanks to all those who support us there. Our phone number is 801-471-0462. Leave a voicemail. Email us themorningstream@gmail.com on Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson, Coverville. That's it.
That's it.
I'm going to dinner with my wife soon. I'm so excited.
Nice. Sushi? What are you going for?
I don't know, actually. I think we're going to go to The Break, which is like this bar over here. They have really good pub food, and they have a chicken, Asian chicken salad thing that is to die for. So I think I'm going
to
get that.
You told me you want to take me there next time I'm in
totally.
At the SLC.
And we could walk. It's like two blocks. It's great.
Whoa. Yeah. Well, all right. We should do that.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, how about we close with a song?
You know what? Hold on, let me
mix things up a little bit.
I don't want to go too crazy here, but I'm going to trust you that this is a new neat thing to do. So yes, okay. Well, I'm bracing for it. Go.
Well, Kevin Huckins wrote in. said, "Greetings, Thelma and Louise. On March 7th in the wee hours of the morning, I will be a loving, supportive husband for my wife as I head out solo on planes, no trains, and an automobile trip that starts with a drive to Vegas from Southern California to catch a plane to Montana and immediately leave from the airport to start the 1,000-mile road trip back to California with two babies and my pregnant sister-in-law, Christine, to come see her mom who's in the hospital. Scott, I'm not promising anything, but just be at the ready for us all to come by and say hello. Fart gas or explosive tips, whatever greeting the Utahns are using that day. Maybe we can take the kids and toss stones at Mendoza.
Nice.
Brian, I leave the song choice up to you. But it should be road trip themed and upbeat to lighten the intensity of a 16-plus hour drive. That would be great. I've requested Slightly Stupid's version of Leaving on a Jet Plane in the past, and you're welcome to use it again if you want. You guys are my heroes, though. Thanks, Kevin." So be warned, this guy may show up randomly at your door.
Okay, I'm ready. Bring
Good luck with that.
As long as he doesn't come wanting this.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Everything will be fine. Everything will be fine.
Good. Yeah. We needed that there.
Sure.
So rather than go with something like Holiday Road, we've played that a bunch in the past, and moving right along from the Muppets, decided to go with another great driving song where in this song you can go faster miles an hour. Yeah, that's some of the lyrics from this song. Wow. It's Roadrunner, originally done by Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers, covered here by Joan Jett from her all-cover album, The Hit List, from 1990. Here is Roadrunner.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Love.
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
In the Utah...